Welcome back to season number two.
Wow, we're going by season.
Yeah, we're season number two now.
Wow, I feel so seasoned.
Hey, I'm Matt.
Goes with my salt and pepper hair.
Salt and pepper. I'll give you salt and pepper.
Anyway,
it'll push you real good.
I'm Pokey, rocking the salt and pepper beard.
And we are They Go to 11. And it's been a little bit of time. Holidays got a little hectic.
And the only reason I'm going with this is because I actually found a gray hair on my beard.
Oh, Jesus. You just turned 30. Let it go.
No, I just turned 31, asshole.
Whatever. Still not bad. You just turned it.
But I found a gray hair.
Wah.
Now I know how every woman feels.
You are every woman. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Anyway.
Yes, back on subject.
So, since we've been away, and, you know, the holidays have kind of come and gone, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of listening to just a bunch of random things, and a couple, one thing kind of stands out in my mind more than anything else, and it is another reason for me to hate the artist known as Nickelback, and you know my hatred for them by now.
I know your hatred, and I can no longer defend these ass clowns.
So, after listening, let's set it up first.
Yes, let's set it up, because Pokey has done everything that Pokey can do to defend Nickelback, including talking in the third person.
Okay. So,
many of you have known.
Yeah.
That I have sat there. I have advocated for Nickelback. I have put Nickelback on lists. I have told people that they are crazy. I have told guests that have come into this studio that they are crazy for their hatred of Nickelback.
Only to find this out.
And now I'm flip-flopping.
Find this out. So,
a bunch of ass clowns.
It was a couple of weeks ago, and I am hanging out.
It was when we went Christmas shopping
with
my fiance.
Well, that's when I played it for you. But
yes.
To set the whole thing up, when I was hanging out with our friend Lance, and he just put his phone on and put some music on. So, a song comes on, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, that sounds a lot like Nirvana, but that's not Nirvana. And then the voice comes in. It's fucking Nickelback. On their album, Silver Side Up, the one that kind of broke for them, there's a song on there. It is called, and I had to write this thing down just because, it's called Just Four, and it's track number 5. If you listen to the intro to that song, and you tell me that they were not trying to rip off Smells Like Teen Spirit to try to make themselves, you know, bigger, you are sadly, sadly fucking mistaken, because that is a blatant ripoff, and Nickelback couldn't even make it on their own merit. Yes, it wasn't the song that made them big, but still, to even attempt that, I would love to be a fly on the wall of the record company of, you know, when they pitched the album, and they were like, you know what? We like what you did there. Smells Like Teen Spirit was big. That'll be big for you. And then probably somebody slapped him with an injunction or something.
I don't think it works like that.
Oh, dude, I don't care what it works like. Just the fact that Nickelback tried to rip off Nirvana almost a decade later. Come on.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you. I mean, given Nickelback started off as a cover band, it doesn't justify it, though.
So did Godsmack.
I cannot stick up for these Canadian ass clowns anymore. I am sorry, Canada. Actually, no, I correct that. I am sorry, Kanata. I really am truly sorry, Kanata. But I can no longer defend your ass clowns. Avril Lavigne, on the other hand, maybe I can still defend her. That's besides the point.
Because she's going to be the next one to go country, probably. Probably know something about that.
No, actually, I don't think so, but...
Well, guess what? You know who Avril Lavigne is married to, right?
Oh, I know. That's why I said I could defend her, but I can't defend that ass clown anymore.
That makes zero sense in my opinion.
It makes zero sense to me.
All right. But since the clocks have now changed and the calendar has turned anew again and we are in January.
Yes.
We have come up with another topic, and this topic...
This topic was presented to us...
I presented it to us.
Well, you presented to us with a list of... That you found something online of 10 albums.
Well,
our biggest fan and one of my favorite people to chat with, Joel, sent me a list of 39.
Joel has a lot of time on his hands.
Well, there's an article about 39. You had an article with 10.
Well, I found an article, and I thought it'd be a really cool list to do, of since the calendar turned to 2015, 1995 is 20 years ago. Anybody born in 1995, how does this make you feel?
Can you drink still
next
can't
year.
Drink.
Well, they can drink next year. But they can vote and serve in the military, and they've been able to for a couple of years now. But that just the point of 1995 being 20 years ago.
Shut up.
That's insane.
Mind you, in 1995, I was going through puberty.
You want to... Oh. You want to make it even better? We are further away from 1995 than we are 2030. We are 15 years away from 2030, and we are 20 years away from 1995.
Wow.
How's that?
That's... Yeah.
So the official topic of this week is going to be the top 11 albums that turned 20 in 1995.
You mean in 2015?
From 1995.
Thank you.
Whatever. Close enough. Dude, right. It's late. Okay? Don't give me no guff. So.
And wait. Mm-hmm. We're doing this in a special way to accommodate all of our new followers and our new fans. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this over 2 weeks.
We are. A lot of people have asked us, why you make these so long? Why you do this to me? So we said, you know what? Fine. We'll break the list up. We'll do 11 to 6. And then guess what?
You're going to
have
to
wait. You're going to have to wait a week for 5
build
through
up,
1.
Build up the suspense. It's like that Little Orphan Annie Dakota ring.
Skunked again.
Drink more Ovaltine.
Son of a bitch.
All right. To the topic
Come
we
on,
go.
Ralphie.
All right. So, to the top 11. So, in true fashion.
Pokey starts first. You know, you would think with the new year we'd start with a new tradition.
No.
But
why?
You know what? The character always starts first. So, my number 11, to me, deserves to be on this list because of the band. But hits number 11 because, in my opinion, it was a epic fail. How about we go there? The only good thing from this album was the tour that supported the album.
And that's how you're going to judge this one? Turned 20. It was a shitty album.
It was a shitty album, but it elevated the band, which had already been elevated enough a year or two prior.
Go on.
Number 11 for me is Green Day's Insomniac. Shitty album because
I was thinking about it, but I'm like, no,
you see,
really.
Exactly. Shitty album because it really only produced 2 good tracks.
Well, you just said it yourself right there. It's a shitty album. Why would you put it on this list?
I put it on this list because, like I said, number one, it elevated the band's popularity even more. Because here you go, you put out this album, and most bands, you have album A, awesome, people fall in love with you. Then you put out album B, people fall in love with album B, and they forget about album A. In this case, you put out this album, your 4th studio album, and people said, "Nah, we're going to go back and buy more of the 3rd studio album."
Yeah.
And
whatever.
Honestly, the tour to support this album was pretty much, fuck it, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear the continuation of Dookie. So it pretty much extended out the whole Dookie phase. The album gets lost because of Dookie overshadowed it.
But then what makes it a great album, I still don't see it. I got plenty of good ones on here. I mean,
there are a lot that I just felt this was better than some of the other ones that I left out.
Okay. All right, so my number 11.
Yep.
And this band, they put out a couple albums, and you know, they've been around for a while. They did
obviously 20 years.
Well, now they're 20 years. I don't even know if they're still together anymore. I think they are. But I really dig what they did here, and Green Day, with what you put in there for Green Day, you know, they could go out, and at that point in time, they could do no wrong. They could go play a freaking kid's birthday party, and it'd be all great. This band, on the other hand, they actually, I think, if you listen to it close enough, and you listen to some of the bigger songs on the album, they kind of ushered in a little bit of ska, and they were doing more raw punk at the time. Number 11 is Rancid and Out Come the Wolves.
Very nice.
I dig the album. And like I said, depending on what track you listen to, you either have really underground punk that was going on at the time and kind of getting overshadowed by Green Day.
Yeah.
But then you turn around and you listen to songs like Time Bomb, and it sounds like ska.
We'll talk about it some more. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's on the list.
But there
they,
is...
They deserve to make the list. Yeah. They deserve to be higher up than number 11.
I don't think so, compared to what I found.
No, you go with what you found. I have them higher than 11.
Okay.
Anyway.
Number 10 for you, sir.
And just so you know, it's not that I'm trying to cut you off here. I'm not trying to, like, steal your thunder with them. I'm just saying, in general, it's one of those things where I have them up much higher, so that's why I'm going to save the conversation with Rancid.
That's fine. Is it now? Is it next time? Who knows?
I don't know. The suspense is killing me. All right.
So what's number 10? Don't tell me this is them.
No. No. I would have just continued the talk if this was it.
Go on.
The President of the United States of America.
Really? You put this here?
I did. Because to me, Presidents of the United States of America are just like Presidents of the United States of America. You either like them or you hate them.
You know what? I disagree. I'll talk about it because I have them higher.
All right.
I have them higher.
Fair enough. You know, I could sit there. If I listen to this musically, and I love listening to this musically, I've actually gone cover to cover. Love it. Great album. However, you examine it from the outside perspective. Examine it from the 1995, I was listening to this album. I went out and I bought this album. You went out and you bought this album for two, maybe three reasons.
No, you bought it for one reason and then heard the other reasons.
I honestly bought it for... You're right. I got it for two reasons. Two songs. But, again, I'm that guy who, when I buy an album, I gotta go cover to cover. I loved it. I'll admit, 6-7 years ago, I was jamming to that shit in my car. A lot. At the same time I was jamming to that in my car, I was also jamming to Machine Head. So, that just shows you the wide range.
Now you're jamming out to Her Bleeding Heart.
No. Now I'm jamming out to country because it really is what's good on the radio.
Get an
iPod.
In
this area. That we can save for next time. I could go into that next conversation.
Get an iPod. We'll talk about that.
I don't believe in Apple.
Get a Sony Walkman. Get some sort
of... The Sony Walkman is older than 20. I listened to that on a Sony Walkman.
The Sony Walkman of today is completely different than what you know. There are no more cassette reels inside of it.
I listened to that on a Sony Walkman.
All right. So, let's jump into my number 10.
But...
Go ahead.
It was a good album.
It was.
And they're great musicians.
I have them higher, and we will get into it.
All right.
Okay. My number 10, and this is actually an album I was surprised that I actually like. I didn't really listen a lot to it because when it initially came out, I wasn't big into female-fronted bands, and I'm still really not that big into female-fronted bands. It takes a lot to actually get me into them. But they played the one clip over and over and over and over on radio stations around here for Stupid Girl, and they changed the lyrics to Stupid News.
I love this. I love that album.
And
it is a little higher on my list, but we could talk about it now.
And it's just such a different sound than what you were expecting out of a female-fronted group at the time.
And this was their debut album.
This was. So, number 10 is the debut album.
I'm just giving you an idea here. Mm-hmm. Just a fair warning.
Yep.
This is where Pokey breaks the rules. Go on.
This is the debut album from Garbage, self-titled.
Yeah.
At number 10.
Fucking amazing album. And it was an amazing album. Mm-hmm. It was great. Excellent way to debut. Excellent way to jump on to like something that was cutting edge. Something that nobody heard.
Right.
And it's coming from the other side of the pond.
Yep.
And that's something that many people didn't know. I love Stupid Girl. I think my favorite track on there is I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
Was that on there?
Yes, it was.
Or was it on the other one?
Nope.
There was an
it was on there. That is... I love that song. As a boy who was going through puberty, I loved every video they put out. And me and people from school, we had an argument about whether she was hotter or another female on my list further up was hotter.
I thought you were going to say the chick from Hanson.
No. No.
But also,
do you go with Shirley Manson, who, damn, she's hot? Or do you go with another chick further up on my list? Just so you know, I had pictures of both of them above my bed.
Not anymore. But
now I got a picture of my fiance, like, right off to the side of my bed.
Aww. Oh, God, I wish I had a little soundboard next to me every time you say something.
I wish we had a soundboard, too. We need to get on that.
But going back to the album, in my opinion, yes, it's a very different sound. And it didn't sound like it was from over in England.
No, not at all.
Because there's other things that are on this list that sound like they're from England, and we'll talk about that later.
Gee, I wonder what.
But
maybe.
This was just very different. It was kind of indie, kind of almost on that verge of like the verge of emo, and it's not emo.
I wouldn't call it emo. It's almost like
garage industrial.
It's like industrial. I could throw it. You know what it is? It's the female version of Bush.
I wouldn't go that far.
You can't necessarily call it grunge, but it has that grunginess
exactly.
to it.
It's got a little more
that's why
industrial
I say it's
feel
the,
to it than...
That's why I say it's the female Bush.
I don't think so. It's a little more industrial than that, and a lot of things they do on here, kind of, in my opinion, are a little experimental.
I think there's some good stuff on there.
There's a lot of good stuff, and one big factor in this album being so big and so well done for a debut album is Butch Vig. Do you know who that is?
Go ahead.
He was the producer on Nevermind.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's in the band, and he produces.
Nice.
And he produced Nevermind, and you heard what Nevermind was. And this doesn't sound anything like Nevermind.
Nope.
You think maybe he found this magical formula and put it together? No. He didn't do that.
No. It's something amazing. And, you know, what they put out afterwards was also great. And again, this is why I call them the female Bush. I gotta stop saying it like that. Yeah, I really gotta stop saying it like that. But they are the female version of Bush. Because, again, your next album, it has your roots to it, but it's a little bit different.
And FYI, just for your knowledge, he's also the drummer.
Oh, nice. See, drummers kick ass. But there's something, it's different. It's not the same.
No, it definitely isn't.
You know, and God, I'm trying to think of the name of the song off of that fucking album. I know the video.
Was it one of the popular ones?
Yeah. The fucking music video was awesome. Shit, the music video.
I'm Only Happy When It Rains?
No, that was all the same album.
It is the same album.
Yeah, no, I'm
Stupid
talking about
Girl?
No, that's the same album. I'm talking about the album that followed it. It's something different.
When like I Grow Up?
Yes.
Or Push It? Because When I Grow Up, that was also in Big Daddy.
Yeah, but the whole big thing is like I was saying, I call them the female version of Bush because just like Bush had their original sound, then Bush went on to do a different type of sound, and we discussed this in our previous podcast. Did we not?
That Bush has evolved over time.
And they've done the same thing.
You know what? I don't see it as much as I see it with Bush. Granted, maybe because I'm a bigger Bush fan than I am garbage, but when Bush did it, it was blatant.
We all like Bush.
Yes. Yes, we do. But blatantly, actually, I don't like Bush. I like Brazilian, but that's another story.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Okay. But with Bush, it's such a big difference in the jump. It's like they did 16 Stone, and that was quintessential grunge. Then they went dark and moody, and they did Razorblade Suitcase. Mm-hmm. And then they did The Science of Things, which was electronic. And then they did Golden State, that nobody listens to. But it was always something different. And even when they didn't do something different, somebody else helped them do something different. Because they did that, I believe it was called Deconstruct. It was the remix album. And it was a damn good remix album. And how? When does that ever happen in rock and roll? But with the initial Bush albums before they went away, you clearly saw a jump and a shift in what they did. It wasn't the same consistently. With Garbage, it sounds too much the same to say that they evolved. That's my opinion.
No, that's it.
All right, what do you have at number 9?
Number 9.
Since that was a very long conversation about Garbage.
Well, we'll get into... We'll list where Garbage is on my list, and I'll go with the other half of it, because like I said, I did the rule break in there. You know how much I love breaking the rules.
Jesus. Did you go 1996 or 1994?
Oh, no, I had a tie.
Oh, okay.
I broke...
At least you stayed within the year range.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I'm a rule breaker, just like my number 9 act is. Marilyn Manson Smells Like Children.
I fucking hate Marilyn Manson.
I know you do, but that's the point. Every fucking parent in America Marilyn Manson. Every fucking parent in America hated Marilyn Manson, and the sale of this fucking album, the release of this album, fucking drove kids out in droves to go buy it because their parents hated it. And not for nothing, Marilyn Manson is one of those artists, love him or hate him, that actually knows what he's doing musically.
I won't disagree with that, excuse me. But I never liked him musically. Like, I thought the cover he did of Sweet Dreams was terrible.
And I feel the opposite. Because is it reminiscent of what the actual song is? No. It's nothing like the original. You know, when you listen to covers, you kind of want something that's going to remind you of the original. And this isn't something that's going to remind me of the original. When I listen to that, even knowing the original song, I'm like, this is fucking dark. This is some... It makes you forget that it's a cover.
I see what he does, and I don't discredit him for doing that. But it's just the fact that I never found what he did to be good. Nothing that he ever put out outside of Mechanical Animals was ever really that good. And even, like, I got tired of...
I can't sit there and say he ever put out an album that was complete, in my opinion. He's not one of those guys who put out an album where I can listen cover to cover and be
Mechanical
happy.
Mechanical Animals, I think, was the closest you could get to that.
But if you take out the pieces of the albums and put them together...
Great, so he's done one bit of work in 20 years.
No.
Sweet.
But I think the problem with Marilyn Manson is that you look at certain songs, you look at him as... You separate the person from the music. And that's the problem with Marilyn Manson. You sit there and say... He's a person, he's the Antichrist, pointperiod.com. You don't factor in the fact that there's the musical side of it where you get a completely underrated guitarist in John 5. You get a bass player who's also underrated. I mean, the drum tracking's kind of simple, but at the same time, you get Marilyn Manson who could actually, in my opinion, pull it all together. And it's like the modern day Alice Cooper.
I don't know. Give me Orgy over Marilyn Manson, and you see how long of a career they had.
But Marilyn Manson is still doing it to this day.
Yeah, and how much press is his new album really getting?
But think of the radio market.
I don't care.
The radio market's not there for it. And okay, I think that's the problem with a lot of these stars who are different. A lot of these artists who are different, your Marilyn Manson, your Nine Inch Nails, your Tools, your Perfect Circles, there's no radio market for it.
At least here, there's no radio market for it.
In general.
You know what? I still don't hear, and just checking around, like, people like Marilyn Manson, yes. But guess what? The Marilyn Manson phase, I hate to break it to you, it's gone. There is no more Marilyn Manson today. There is bands
because
like,
everybody's been desensitized.
No, it's
to
not
it.
Even that. It's the kids, they don't want to hear that now. Like, one of the big, like, I'm not even really big into what kids are into now.
Nobody
but,
is,
but
except for the kids.
I'm thinking, like, off the top of my head, one of the bands that just comes to mind is Asking Alexandria. I don't know a damn thing about them, but from everything that I can see with, like, their logos and things like that, it's not overly dark. It's not, a, like, what Marilyn Manson did. It's not about shock value. It's how, you know, how growl can I get my lyrics? How low can I drop my guitar? Or how, you know, fucking close to dubstep can I get my breakdown before it's actually dubstep, you know? It's nothing like Marilyn Manson.
And yeah, that's, you could that's the difference.
But I'm saying, if you take Marilyn Manson and put him in today, forget it. He would never, he wouldn't
because
make it like he,
because
he
does things that are different. Like you said, you get these guys nowadays who are sitting there growling, dropping their voice, dropping their guitars to like fucking A flat flat. Who are doing
A
the
flat flat.
A flat flat.
Aflac.
Exactly. And at the same time, it just sounds like a bunch of, it sounds like pip farting on a snare drum. You take something like Marilyn Manson, you have something there that's the visual shock value. Let's just work off the, let's work off the cover song. Let's work off of Sweet Dreams. You have the visual shock value. That's if you see it live. That's if you see the music video too. You have the vocal shock value, in which you take a song that you know the Eurythmics version of it, but then you take that whole dark, you want to throw emo in there, you want to throw industrial.
It's not, that, I will not consider that emo.
Okay, so you want to take dark, industrial.
Yeah, I'll go there.
Drop tuning to a standard point, drop detuning, and you bring it all together. You can still tell what they're saying. You still get the mood from the song. You still get the vocals from the song. Nowadays, most of this stuff that's, let me drop a Hello Kitty guitar down to A flat flat and play the shit out of it.
We'll call that Aflac tuning.
Okay. Dropping your guitar down to Aflac tuning and growling. I can't understand a fucking thing you're playing. I can't understand a thing that you're fucking saying. And it's just like, all your drummer's doing is fucking blast beating the shit out of a kit.
And let's put this all in perspective. One of my favorite bands, and I saw them and we did, and I did a review on them, is Killswitch Engage.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not extreme tuning and things like that, but
you're I think you're not drop tuned.
You're tuned down to C or something.
You're tuned down to C, but you're also using a 7-string guitar.
Right.
A little bit different.
Actually, I don't even think he's using a 7-string. I think he's using an Eddie Van Halen guitar, and those are all 6. He doesn't have a 7.
I thought they had 7s and 8s.
No, not them.
Either way, though, still.
You're a Deftones fan. That's why you think that.
Either way, so still, you go drop C tuning. Something reasonable.
Right.
You all do right. that to get the heaviness.
So I think we kind of killed Marilyn Manson on this.
Yeah.
Let's move on to greener pastures.
But, again, he hits my number 9.
Okay.
He probably doesn't hit your list, does he?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not at all. But I guarantee you this album doesn't hit your list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this, and I don't care. Because, in my opinion, these guys, they had a lot of play on the radio. Not a lot on this one. It was a good release for 1995. But they always do something different. They always sound different. They, to me, are very reminiscent of Led Zeppelin. Yeah, just that eye, that look, is pretty much what I'm going to get when I say this.
Oh, God.
To me, the self-titled album from Collective Soul.
You know, I didn't have that on my list, and I'm kind of disappointed I didn't.
To me, Collective Soul was always that band that you heard. It's like, wow, who is this? Oh, that's Collective Soul. Wow, who is this? Collective Soul, it's the same band. But you listen to the entire album, and it's just one awesome song after another, and you don't mind listening cover to cover. Go ahead.
I just have to cut you off here because I'm actually surprised I didn't have Collective Soul on here. I actually like Collective Soul. I just gave you the eye, though, because you're like, I didn't know who you were talking about, and you said that you would compare them to a modern-day Led Zeppelin. That's why I gave you the eye.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a fan of Led Zeppelin. Because For
some stupid reason?
Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. I just, again, this goes back to my controversial Beatles line.
It doesn't have to be about who gets overplayed the most. If you can find something, there are a ton of Led Zeppelin songs that don't ever get played. But be that as it may.
That's not for this.
That's not for here.
That's go back and listen to our previous podcast and listen to the shocking, damning thing that Pokey said about the Beatles.
In season number one.
Season number one.
See, wow. We can do that now.
Yeah. Do we put out box sets?
Not yet. We don't have enough for a box set.
Oh.
But if you go down the list of songs that are on this this self-titled album, you got The World I Know.
Which I love.
December.
Great song.
Where the River Flows.
Excellent song.
Gel.
Yep.
She Gathers Rain. And the rest of the songs, you know, you might not know, but if you go back and listen, it all is just great music. They're very technically gifted.
And it's, like you said, each track is different. Like, the whole album flows differently. And not for nothing, I felt old as shit. The other day, I was doing my food shopping. First of all, this is how you know I'm feeling old as shit. I actually called your ass up and asked you to go food shopping with me.
I know.
I asked you if you needed to go food shopping. You said, yeah, I haven't gone in a while. Hey, you want to go food shopping with me?
Tell me
that didn't make you feel old, too. Made me feel like ancient.
Uh-huh.
Made me feel even more ancient. I go into the food store.
I wanted to get in one of those little buggies that, you know, like the 500-pound people get into because they can't walk around the store. Yeah, I wanted to get in one of those when I heard that you asked me that.
Dude, I would have raced you around the store. But I'm standing in line, and what comes on? Fucking The World I Know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, son of a bitch. Mind you, when I got into the food store, the song I heard, Blink-182's First Date.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Where the hell is like the...
That's where we are.
Where the hell is like the soothing, like, Rod Stewart's and Sting's and that nice soothing... Not that I'm complaining.
That's during the day.
This was during the day. This was during the day on a Saturday.
Well, that's why it wasn't there. If you go on like a Tuesday morning around like 11, you'll probably get Rod Stewart.
I mean, I'm not complaining because I absolutely love it. It's just I go in there now and it makes me feel old.
Oh, absolutely.
Bad enough.
But listening to this entire album is it's a really good album.
It is. It's underrated.
Very underrated. And considering, like I said, I'm comparing them to a Led Zeppelin type. I'm not saying they are Led Zeppelin or they're greater than Led Zeppelin. Let's just put it out there like that. They are a Led Zeppelin type band where they don't ever do the same thing again.
No.
And it's not like Bush. Bush evolved over albums. This is all within one album. So if you listen to like Zeppelin's In Through the Outdoor or Presence, they go into some pretty weird shit. And this one is, you know, they don't go into crazy shit like Zeppelin did. This is just very different track to track to track. So if you haven't heard this in a while, go back and listen to it.
Now, there you go. I think that's the problem. I think a lot of people haven't really heard it, period.
There you go.
And I think that's
number
the problem.
Nine. Have at it.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Man, I'm like ready to throw my number eight out the window and replace it with this. I really am. I'm kind of kicking myself for hating... Or for putting number eight on there now. Wow.
I love when I do that.
Yeah, you do. It's like mind blown.
So what is this magical band that made your list and not Collective Soul?
That's the problem. You know, I'm totally regretting putting them on this list. Especially because the lead singer is such a douchebag. Like, all right. Here you go. You want to know how big of a douchebag he is?
Go on.
So I got to meet this guy. I got to meet this guy with my fiance Dorothy and took pictures, you know, together. Her and I together.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Guy had the pose, had this one pose. People who also got to meet him, same pose. Everybody else in the band, all cool. Everybody else in the other band, all cool, chatting, bullshitting. Him, gave the pose like, yeah, I'm an arrogant fuck. What are you going to do about it? A few months ago, that our one listener, Sean, who always comments, you know, huge Nirvana fan, and I think we're going to talk about him 2 weeks from now when we get into our next topic. But we'll reveal that a little later on. Got to keep the suspense.
No, don't give away secrets.
I can't. I do that enough. But Sean actually met the guy and took pictures with him, and it's the same arrogant fuck pose.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you're from our generation, you get to meet an artist. Cool. But when they're complete dicks, you know.
He's one of the artists that is having a hard time accepting that he is not important anymore. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
He has a very hard time coping that I'm not in the limelight anymore. There are better bands that are out there than me, and I'm kind of like that D-list celebrity. I do festivals and tours that you have to put a bunch of different bands on from the same era in order for anybody to come out.
Yep.
Go ahead. You tell him who it is.
Unfortunately, it's Everclear with Sparkle and Fade.
They certainly did fade.
No, they faded fast. They faded as the members got kicked out of the band. You know, it's funny because when I was doing research, I was doing looking on this.
Wait, him and Billy Corgan should be in a band together.
They should.
Done. Wait. The egos wouldn't allow it.
Oh, dude, that I would love to see what happens when you throw him, Billy Corgan, and the fucking dude from Live. What the fuck's his name?
Ed Kowalczyk.
You throw them into a fucking studio, I would love to watch that shit. Absolutely would love to watch that shit. All three of them have the biggest fucking egos. It's fucking absurd.
I'm looking at the track list for this album. Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to why you put this on here.
You know what? It was one of those albums. I had it. I listened to it. Listened to it cover for cover. It wasn't a bad album. Given there was only one real radio single. One single that really got airplay.
Yep.
But, and there's two listed on there. I know that. But,
what do you mean two listed?
Well, there's Santa Monica, which everybody knows.
Yep.
One of the easiest songs to play. And one of the other tracks that was listed as a single was Heroin Girl, but that really got no airplay at all.
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. And even on a medium like iTunes, but it's only got 13 reviews.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. It's one of those albums where I think what Everclear did is that it was a good album. Front to back, great album.
That's debatable, but go on.
I think that what Everclear did, though, is that they duped us. Everclear gave us this whole, like, California sound, you know.
I will go with that.
But they're not from California.
Nope.
They're from fucking Portland.
Who wants to write songs about Portland?
That, you see? But look at fucking, look at Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden.
Well, wait
all
a second.
All from fucking Seattle, and what
wait
do they
a
do?
Second. Eddie Vedder was from California, and I believe he was from San Diego, if I'm not mistaken.
You're right, but the rest of the band was from fucking...
But you think he would have infused that California sound, and he didn't.
Because the other guys were the ones who started the sound. They needed a singer.
Yeah, okay, so your job in the band
it
is
wasn't,
to write
it
lyrics.
Wasn't that Eddie Vedder went out and said, hey, you know what? I got this great idea. Let me go get these guys. No, these guys from Washington had an idea, knew what they wanted, needed a singer. In comes Eddie Vedder. End of story. We're off topic right now.
Go on.
But it's like they duped us all. That's the only thing, like, besides the guy's a total douchebag, besides he's the only original member of the band, they duped us. But I like the album, and that's why it has to be on my number 8.
As you try to convince yourself of that.
No, it's not that I'm trying to convince myself of that. It's that I'm trying to sit there and say to myself, you're a fucking asshole for not putting Collective Soul on there. How about that?
All right. Well, let's make up for this a little bit, okay?
All right.
I'll make you feel better because my number 8, you already talked about, I put him up a little higher. It's the Presidency of the United States of America.
Again, really talented musicians.
They are. It was a really, it was a great album for what it was. Yep. This is 1995 encapsulated. That's why this is up here for me, and this is why it's higher than what you put it. Because 1995, if you pressed it on a CD and handed it to somebody and said, this is what 1995 sounded like, this would be the album. It is good. It's not great. It's good. Peaches is fucking catchy as hell.
Yeah.
Then you got Lump. It was never played on the radio. Ever. It's a great song.
He's Gump.
Oh, Jesus. And you know, the Weird Al thing, yeah.
I actually looked up Weird Al to see if that album came out that year, and it didn't.
Nope.
But anyway, yeah, no. Lump was a great song.
And like I said, for me, the
Lump
album
was on the radio consistently.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Peaches wasn't on the radio.
Peaches was. I didn't think Lump was. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Lump was on there. Kitty was a great song, too.
Yeah.
The lead song off of it. Dune Buggy was actually.
Dune Buggy was a fun song.
It was.
It was a really fun song.
Oh, man. Just looking at this whole thing. And you know what's. You know how you know that this was a great album? Or not a good album, excuse me, not a great album. How it was a good album is because they did a special 10th anniversary edition of the album with all demos on it of the songs. Come on.
Like I said, but they're. I love the album. But again, I'm stepping back here and I'm looking at it from what do people in 95 think of it? You know, you have to realize people in 95 were going out saying, yep, I'm just want to hear this song, that song, that song. They didn't have iTunes in 1995, so you were forced to go and buy a CD.
You know what else was on this album too? Kick Out the Jams.
Like I said, the album is great.
It is.
It's, you know, it should maybe it should have been higher on my list, but I'm looking at it from a different perspective.
I'm taking it as I'm looking at it from a perspective of today, looking back in 1995. What was good then, or what was, you know, great then, is still holding up well today. And this definitely holds up well. This makes me feel old as hell to say this, but this is now classic rock. Drink that in.
Yeah, where the fuck's my coffee? Can I spike this with some Kahlua?
I wouldn't blame you, because I'm getting to that point too. We're going down this list, I'm like, fuck, I'm old. But like I said, great album, or good album, excuse me. It's 1995 compressed into a CD, and the CD was a fucking penny. Come on, the CD, literally the picture on the CD was a penny.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I could have swore it was a penny.
No, look it up. You got the computer right there.
What was on the CD?
Definitely can tell you it's not a penny. Don't worry. For my next one, I'll be able to tell you what was on the cover. Don't you worry. And he pulls it up. And the winner is, drumroll please, three guys playing instruments. Not the band members. We have one guy who's playing, looks like some kind of horn. One that has like a stand-up bass, and I don't remember what the other one was.
I don't have that.
What do you have? Because I have something totally different.
Actually, we're both wrong. It's just a red CD.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Are we talking CD cover or CD itself?
CD itself.
Oh, yeah, that's red. That's red with, like, the track.
Yeah.
Like, has, like,
no,
track
if I didn't know what the cover of that fucking album looked like, it's like three little, like, toad-looking things that are gold. Yeah, I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway. I know what the cover looks like on my next one.
Go on.
So, we're at what? Number seven?
Yep.
So, number seven is where I break the rules.
Oh, Jesus. Go
I
on.
I had Garbage. We already talked enough about Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And how I think Shirley Manson was hot. But the other chick that's... Yes, there's another female on here.
If this is who I think it is, you did this list totally wrong.
Who do you think it is?
I'm not going to say it. I'm waiting. I want to see what you say.
Here we go. We're going to pull out the album itself. We got the album in my hand.
That's not who I thought it was.
Got the album. I thought she was hot, too.
Yeah, she is hot. Yeah. I will give that to you.
I got the album right here in my hand. I wish you all had a visual of this. You have mocked me several a time for having this album.
Yes, and I now I understand why all the liner notes are stuck together.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's more... No, not at all. Anyway, I have Jewel Pieces of You.
And soon, I know you will see that you were meant for me.
Wow,
and
really?
I was meant for you.
Wow, really? But again, this is one of those albums where you had different sounding songs. I'm not comparing it exactly to...
Let me see the track listing on that phone.
I'm not comparing it to Collective Soul in any way, shape, or form. But you got something, you got like the whole, first off, this is a, just like Garbage, this is a breakout CD. This is their...
It is a breakout CD, and I will not lie. Okay, so looking at this...
My favorite song on there, let's see if you can guess what my favorite song is.
Let's see. Who Will Save Your Soul was a good song. Pieces of You was a good song. Let's see. You Were Meant For Me was a good song. Was it any one of those?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm guessing it's Who Will Save Your Soul.
Love that song. Excellent bass line. Love the video. Absolutely love the video.
Was that the one that she was in the bathroom stall?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
She was in the bathroom. Yeah.
That's a weird thing. It's kind of got like a little subtitle of the album. So, the album's called Pieces of You. And then on the bottom, it says, what we call human nature, in actuality, is human habit. Interesting.
See? Yeah. I mean, it was a great album. It was really cool.
And yes, it actually is right here. Yeah. I can't believe you brought this with you.
I had to.
Why?
Because I really enjoyed it. I seriously enjoyed it that much.
Wow, you enjoyed it so much that it's not even scratched.
I took very good care of that
album.
I'm
not even going to touch the liner notes. Here, catch.
Wow. I'm not that bad, dude. There was this thing known as MTV back then.
Oh, man. All right. So, number seven for you is Jewel.
And Garbage.
And Garbage.
Two intro albums to two bands.
You didn't say the other person who I was thinking about. Because I would really question you.
Let's see if that person's higher. Is it a female?
Yes. The fact that you brought that up...
Then yeah.
Then we have a lot to talk about.
If we're thinking of the same person, then it's definitely higher.
All right. So.
Deserves to be higher.
Yes. But we'll get there.
So.
That's next week.
Yeah.
All right.
So here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a great band in Garbage. Makes a huge splash.
Uh-huh.
From across the pond, they make a splash. And then you have Jewel, who makes a splash from Alaska. You know, it's
was
just one
she
of.
From Alaska?
Oh, she's from Alaska. She's totally from Alaska.
Go
but
on.
To me, to have two albums from two artists who were breaking out like that, completely awesome. And that just shows you the talent that came out in 1995.
I know why you like and remember that she's from Alaska. She's from Homer, Alaska.
Don't!
Okay. So, my number seven. As we move up this list, this is what I was talking about earlier when we want something that sounds like it came from England. The album itself, outside of a couple of songs, was meh. But the album itself and what it did... And,
you better not have what I think you have.
And the fear of what it would do to the Beatles if this trend continued.
You're an ass clown.
The way that this album
you
came out.
You're such an ass clown.
I know I am.
Because I have this higher up on my list.
Uh-huh. You know what? I'll shorten this so you can talk about it later.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, the reason why Oasis and What's the Story, Morning Glory is this low on the list, because it was a meh album. And I had... two, three good songs, if I remember correctly. But
for shame,
I didn't like the entire album. Plus, the guy's constantly fighting and breaking up the fucking band. You know, it's, you know, get over yourself. You're in a fucking band. Be happy. but this album instilled, like, when they came out, your father loved these guys because they sounded so much like the Beatles, and a lot of people said they will probably be the next Beatles and the next wave of, like, the British invasion would happen. Yeah, a lot of people thought that.
And then
the band said, we're going to be bigger than the Beatles.
No.
Yeah.
No, the band's well, we'll get into that when we talk about it. When we get to Pokey's position. All
right, when we get to there. But I'm telling you right now, the band said that they're going to be bigger than the Beatles. When they compare themselves, anybody else could compare them because it's the press and the media and they can say whatever they want. But when the band said it and they believe the hype, that's when it went downhill and that was it.
We'll get there.
All right. Number six.
Rounding out the first half here. This, my friends, all you out there in podcast land, is where I have Rancid.
This high up. When I put my number six on here, you're going to be like, shit.
That's fine. Rancid to me deserves to be on this list because you have a band. Let's go to what was considered quote unquote punk at the time. You had bands like Green Day and The Offspring who were quote unquote punk. Rancid was the real life punk.
Absolutely.
You have guys from a punk band that many people don't even know called Operation Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
That came together, you know, with other band members and formed Rancid, and it was fucking great. And this goes back to the magic of the number three, because this was their third studio release. But this had something for everybody. If you were that guy who was totally into, like, hardcore punk, like Dead Kennedys and Operation Ivy and all that stuff, it has stuff on there for you. If you were that guy who was into ska, it has stuff on there for you. If you were that guy who was into the pop punk style of, like, Green Day and The Offspring, it has stuff on there for you. This, in my opinion, is the real punk of the 90s.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I just don't think that the album hit as big as it could have. That's why it was so low on my list.
But that's the problem. You know, again, we take it, if I analyze this like I was analyzing it based off of what was on the radio,
you would have no idea who they are.
But you know the songs.
Yeah, now you do.
You know, it's one of those things where this album, to me, was authentic. This is what an authentic album sounds like. And this is where we start to see the use of Easter eggs in music videos. Bet you didn't know this one.
Because I don't watch music videos like
you. Oh, I love music. You know, we should have a topic about music videos.
Go on, let's not get off topic.
But, you know, you want to talk Easter eggs here? The video for Time Bomb, if you watch the video carefully, you'll actually see in one of the scenes there's actually a sticker for Operation Ivy.
Interesting. I'm sure that there's been other ones.
But it's one of those things like where nowadays when we're in this age of Easter eggs, you look for shit like that. And that's the other thing, too, about them, about Rancid, is that I talk about this album being genuine in terms of punk and having a song for everybody. They also looked punk.
Yeah, they did.
And they haven't defaulted from that.
Nope.
You look at bands like Green Day and Offspring, and they didn't look it. They were just classified punk because there's nothing. You can't classify them as grunge. You really can't classify them as alternative. Yeah, look, they're punk.
All
because
right.
He has yellow green hair.
Yeah, that's what Blink-182 was.
So, but Rancid is the real deal.
Well,
and that's why it hits number six.
Since you're bringing up punk, these guys toggled between punk and the California sound, my number six. And it really was an interesting mashup. This wasn't their first album, but they're still going strong today, and they're still putting out pretty damn good albums. Actually, my favorite album from them came out 4 years ago. Was it 15, 2015, 4 or 5? Five years ago? But really good stuff.
I have a feeling I know what you're talking about, and I didn't think it was 95.
Oh, it is 95. I checked.
Oh, wow.
And the mashup of the punk style along with a hip-hop vibe, but not fully hip-hop. They didn't do the punk, they didn't do the rap rock thing at all.
Okay, now I'm lost.
311 self-titled.
Oh, wow.
Because if you listen to Down, Down was the song that made everybody take notice of 311. And it was, they have that style that it sounds like they're rapping, but they're not rapping. And it was just that hard edge that made it sound like punk. But then the use of the dual vocals and a guy who doesn't play any instruments in the band, he's just got a very unique sound to his voice. And yeah, he adds that extra element to the band. It's just this whole conglomeration of things that are like, okay, well, we're going to try this and we're going to try this. And maybe, you know, let's bring a little bit of this in here. And it's just like, holy shit, it worked. That's the story of these guys. It just worked. You can't really classify it. And there was nothing like it at the time. There really wasn't. Because you had punk, you had pop.
Mm-hmm.
Hip-hop was still kind of in its infancy. You know, Dre and Snoop and everybody started just a little bit earlier than that.
But that was a different...
But still...
That type of hip-hop was a far cry from what meshed with rock.
Oh, exactly. It's a complete far cry. But some of the vocals lended themselves a little bit into the sound of 311. And, you know, like I said, it's just a whole bunch of things that came together. It shouldn't have worked, but it did.
Yeah.
Were you into that album at all?
I was into 311. I can't believe it was 95. I thought it was later than that.
Nope.
Wow.
And 1995 was 6th or 7th grade.
Depending on when it came out, both.
Fuck.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was before then.
So, this is going to conclude the first half of this list.
Yeah, you know what? Let me ask you this question. I have to include on there an honorable mention because we talked about it when we were talking about Marilyn Manson.
You know what? Let's save that for the end. We'll put honorable mentions in at the end.
Well, so this is the end.
No, next week the end.
Next week.
Next week. Isn't that
this
weird?
This is the end. Why am I thinking of the Doors?
So, let's run back 6 through 11.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, 6 through 11.
So, start at 11.
See, normally this is where I, like, tear up my list and throw it at him.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, number 11, I have Green Day's Insomniac. Number 10, Presidents of the United States of America with Presidents of the United States of America. Number 9, Marilyn Manson with Smells Like Children. Number 8, Everclear Sparkling Fade. Number 7, The Tie Between Two Hot Chicks, Garbage and Jewel. And number 6, to round it out, Rancid with And Out Comes the Wolves.
Honestly, on the bottom part of my list here, only 2 of these albums actually have names. Number 11, Rancid, Out Come the Wolves. Number 10, Garbage. Number 9, Collective Soul. Number 8, Presidents of the United States of America. Number 7, Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory. And number 6, 311. They don't have album names.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of them like that.
But that was the trend in the 90s. Do a self-title.
When we get to our higher echelons of 11, I have 2 on there that don't have names.
Well, we'll find that out next time.
Yep.
So, I'm Matt.
I am This Is the End Pokey.
Womp womp. And we are They Go to 11. So turn it up. We'll continue
wait,
it next time.
Wait, what? Wait. I don't have paper to throw at you. This isn't right.
Good.
Son of a bitch.
So we'll continue this next time. Until then, turn it up. We'll talk to you later.
Peace out.